Hi everybody, and welcome back to another Thursday live podcast here on Podbean, and also going out across the other platforms as well. So thank you so much for being here. Hi Adrian, hi Jed, Ivan Bentley, good to see you, my friend. Leslie, of course, great supporter. All you guys, thanks for coming in, and we've got so much to talk about. Hi Nath, I see you as well. In fact, I've got loads to talk about. Now, it's a little bit noisy for me tonight as I'm doing this because, as some of you might know, I live in a very country location and all around me are basically just green fields. Problem about green fields is that they're grown, the grass is grown for pasture. And this time of the year, when it actually stops raining just for a short period of time, that means that the farmers instantly jump into action and there's like about a million tractors all rattling away in the background. So just so you know, there is a little bit of noise disturbance at my end. Can't do much about it. But anyway, we've got a packed show. Yes, Leslie points out the fact that Paddy is early. Paddy, I don't know what's going wrong with you. It's unheard of. But anyway, thanks for being here. And we've got an action-packed agenda to talk about. We're going to talk about, I hope our friend Grantonio does join us tonight. I can't see him, but hoping he comes in. But anyway, there's lots of stuff happening up in Scotland since last week. Hi, Anne-Marie. Good to see you. We're going to talk about Scotland. We're going to talk about England at the polls today and what that's going to mean. We're going to talk about the US Congress, Paddy, criminalizing the Bible. Good old Republicans joining in that one with their ludicrous anti-Semitism act. We're going to talk about Ireland confronting the UK and migration for extra laughs as well. And hi, John Saunderson. Good to see you. Hi, Max. And I want to talk about something I'm sure you've all noticed. A lot of political leaders or people in reasonably high places, they're selected to be there. They're not elected. And that bothers me that. It's like we're moving into a post-democratic world where people are selected. Well, you know, they don't represent me if that's the case. And in fact, even if they're voted in, they don't represent me as well. So anyway, hope this all finds you well. And we are going to get into the detail here. And we'll start off with, here's Adrian coming in. We'll start off with Scotland, shall we? Because it was only last week when we were all gathered together in this here spot that there was lots of issues happening in Scotland. And turns out 1 week on, what's happened? Well, Humza Yousaf basically has resigned from First Minister, leader of the SNP, and they've now actually found themselves a replacement, a guy called John Swinney, who is, Leslie, sort of not just as bad, but he's still pretty woke. And this is the problem. I mean, the SNP, to my mind, I didn't mind their, you know, see this whole business about being, you know, wanting independence. It's perfectly legitimate to seek independence for your country. Not that I supported it, but it's a legitimate aim, if you follow me. Yes, Paddy, he's not a Muslim. He's just a git. All the woke stuff, you know, the gender stuff, the whole issue of hate crime, all these other woke issues, net zero. That's what the SNP seems to be about these days. So I think he's not brown, John Swinney. He's not brown, Leslie. He's just a clown, which actually rhymes. So anyway, so I don't know what you guys make of the changes. And as I say, it does demonstrate in politics, things happen really, really fast. Really fast. Hi, Reese, by the way. Good to see you. So we will give our friend Grantonio the chance to... Oh, he's here. I do see
him. No, he is, David, but he sent a message. He's not very well. He said he'll only be listening in tonight.
Okay.
He's not on best form. But you've just done that big monologue there, yeah, about Scotland. And first of all, can I just say hello, Scotland the Brave, on Getter, and deplorable Deb, who's over there. But it's one of those moments in time, do you not think, David? Like, where were you when they faked the moon landings? Do you remember where you were when they blew up the Twin Towers? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember where? It's one of those moments. Do you remember where you were when they killed Lady Diana? It's one of those moments, isn't it? Do you remember where another SNP first minister had to resign? It's one of those moments in time, I think.
Yeah, well, do you know, Jed, it's funny you should say that, because the only distinction between Humza Yousaf and his two predecessors is he's the first SNP leader not to be arrested. Yet.
There's definitely a yet there, isn't there?
But Jed, you're right. The SNP have fallen apart in front of our very eyes. They're going to be monstered come the general election in Scotland. And I think they're never going to be what they are, Jed. I don't think, you know, like up until January of last year, they were, you know, they mastered Scotland. They had everything going for them. And Jed, how do you explain the fact that it's fallen away? And I'm delighted to see it. So quickly, explain that.
Well, yeah, no, I get that. And they did. They had a steel hand grip over Scotland, didn't they? They had done. And I think, actually, if it hadn't been for Sturgeon in the inquiry going, I don't remember, my recollection is different. You know, when they did the inquiry, I think that was the start of the downfall. And then more and more publicly became the Farry incident. That started, the papers started to turn on them. The papers in Scotland were backing them. BrewDog, all the brewery, they were all backing them. But when Sturgeon started, and I don't know how to put this because I don't want to be liable, but when she couldn't answer the questions in the inquiry, and documents and recordings were disappearing from minutes of meetings that she should have had over the COVID inquiry, then the Farry stuff started to hit the headlines. The newspapers kept it back. They were holding on to it, going, no, there's no issue with Farrys in Scotland. No, they're all there. They're only costing us 10 quid. Don't worry. But then they went, hang on. We've just watched our first minister lying during an inquiry. Well, I don't recall it like that. No, I might not. Oh, no, I can't remember. And then I think they turned. And since then, it was only Sturgeon, actually, that had the iron grip. Because I don't think Salmon had the iron grip before her. I think he went on the wave of independence. And lost.
Yeah,
and lost. He lost. You know, he didn't even win it. So Sturgeon picked up, and she ruled a bit like Hitler with an iron fist.
Yeah, she did.
But even Hitler saw his last days, and I think she's seen.
Oh, I think so, Jed. And I honestly, I would not be surprised if, let's say, they move to. Can you hear me, everybody?
I can. Yep.
Yeah, sorry, a technical issue at this end. Adrian, do you want to jump in and give us your money's worth on what we've seen just in the last week in Scotland?
Oh, it was great to see him fall. It really was. You know, just after that whole white speech, it was just... And do you know what it reminded me of? Sun Tzu, right? If you sit by the banks long enough, you'll see the enemy or the corpse of your enemy flow past. And Humza, after that white speech, I'm so glad to see him gone. But if the SNP had just stuck to independence and not got involved with all the woogery, I think it would have been a different story. But they went full WEF and joined on board and not telling you what a woman is and all this nonsense. Mm. And I think that's been part of their downfall. And again, Sun Tzu, if the enemy's destroying themselves, don't interfere. And I think a lot of the people now have truly seen the SNP's colours. And they will be voting so differently at the next.
I think, you know, Adrian, I mean, and Jed, both of you, you've made brilliant points there. It's really, what's really good about this platform as well is, you know, you guys see it all. You know, I don't even need to say all this because you fully understand it. Yeah, absolutely. The SNP have gone woke. They've obviously been corrupt for a long time. And basically, in a very short period of time, we've just seen it unfold. And, you know, I don't think they'll ever be back to what they are, Grantonio. I know you're listening to this. I think that Kate Forbes decided not to go for the leadership because who wants to be the captain on a sinking ship? And so and some people are saying, oh, no, she's going to wait her moment. I don't think that moment's going to come. They're dead. Yes, Grantonio, you're absolutely right. We all see it the same way. You know, it's kind of strange, though, isn't it, how something as mighty as the SNP have just gone, you know? But, Paddy, you've been watching this from afar, this sort of, I was going to say a slow-mo collapse, but it's not a slow-mo collapse. It's a rapid collapse, really, of what was the governing party. And what do you make of it from your vantage point?
I love watching the politics over there because it's a microcosm of everything here, but it's magnified because it's such a smaller it's such a smaller set of numbers. But what this is, and you know, it's all their policies and all the things that they believe in and been trying to push for the past 20 years. It's finally catching up with them. I think COVID did them more damage than it did the political class more damage than in the long term, we hope, than it actually did the people, because it exposed so much of their bull crap and how much is all bull crap.
Yeah. I mean, actually, Paddy, just to jump in a slightly different topic, but same idea, and everyone can jump in on this one. I was looking at a big opinion poll today, voting intentions at the next general election here in the UK. And the one thing that's pretty clear is that the Conservatives entered 2020, so the year of the COVID scam, they entered that with over 50% of people expressing a preference to want to support them. And that basically collapsed in 2021. In particular, it started to go down in 2021, and then it collapsed in 2022, 23, 24, and now they're about to be overtaken by Reclaim and potentially be in third place. So, I wonder, guys, Jed, start with you in this one, if you're able to come in on this. Like the collapse of the SNP has been really fast, but the collapse of the Tories, the Conservatives, has been pretty dramatic as well when you think back to where we were just over four and a bit years ago.
It has, actually, hasn't it? But I think the Tory collapse has been self-induced. And you can say, well, so is the SNP. But I think in a more dramatic way, because the SNP did not go after its own leaders. It did not try and, you know, get rid of its own leader, where obviously the Tories have. And I think the problem with the Tories, and again, it's been the problem with the Tories for generations, is after a while, they eat their own. Mm-hmm. You know, they ate Maggie Thatcher, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so on and so forth. And John Major was eaten alive and so on. And then obviously Boris. You know, Boris had just won them not 12 months before, or thereabouts, whatever it was. He just won them the biggest majority they've ever had. What did they do? They went after him. It's almost like we don't want to be in charge, but we want to be in charge. You know, it's that sort of scenario. I think the bottom line is, whether it's Scottish politics, Northern Ireland, Northern Irish politics, or British politics, I think all of us are being given or sold a second-rate, third-rate service. You know, we are here to, and you say, well, what we need is educated people to be in power and blah, blah, blah. But actually, we don't have that. What we have is a bunch of people that we voted for that, with all good intentions, they may have come to your door and knocked on your door and said, oh, you know, Mr. Vance, we'll do this for this area, for the rural area that you live in. Yeah, we'll give you the super fast broadband that you're now using your podcast. But we'll also tarmac.
I love politicians. Well, yeah.
But we'll tarmac your road and we'll put some street lights up and we'll bring down your council tax. Then they get in power. Maybe the first year they try and do some of that, but they're always up against the machine, just like the Tories at the moment are up against the civil service, the cancer eating this country alive, who are now threatening to take the government to court. Remember, the duty of the civil service is to implement the government policy. Now, if they're not going to do that, for me, they should be sacked instantly. Anybody that goes on this bandwagon of, we're going to sue the government, I'm a civil servant, I'm going to sue the government over government policy, should be sacked instantly and have all their pension rights taken away because they are failing in their basic duty, and their basic duty is to support British government policy. And that's what we've got. We've got second-rate politicians, whether it's in Scotland, Northern Ireland or the UK, second-rate politicians being led by a globalist elite and being held up by a deep state. And in this country, it's the civil service. In the US, it's exactly the same, but it's the three-letter agencies over there. And that's the problem we got. And that's the problem that people like me, you, and the good folk that are listening tonight, that's the problem that we have to face. And I don't know how we're going to deal with it. Don't know how, because it seems to be when we put somebody in the right spot, 9 times out of 10, they become, and I'll use the word because I don't know another word to use to describe what I want to say, not that these people are, but they become corrupted. They are corrupt once they've got into power.
Yeah.
They're corrupted by the system itself, by money from people wanting questions, whatever it might be. But they get corrupted extremely quickly, and they're on the gravy train of the expenses, the funding that they get from big business to push a certain policy or pull a certain policy. And we end up, Leslie's there saying that, very corrupt. Yeah, they are. They all become corrupted. And that's what we have to face up to. Now, you could say Citizens Assembly. I don't think you'd ever get anything done, because for every person on that assembly, you will have a completely different opinion of something. So they're not the answer either.
Okay. Adrian, do you want to jump in this one?
You have to remember that this country's trillions in debt. So the politicians don't call the tune. But anyway, as for the Conservatives losing their majority at this election, if it happens, what have they presided over? They've presided over Brexit fiasco, COVID fiasco, the migrant fiasco.
Yep.
People are seeing all this and they're going, enough's enough. And they will start voting different ways. Unfortunately, too many of them do not realize that voting for the other party is just the same as voting for that party anyway.
Well, see, Adrian, that's it. I mean, I agree with that analysis 100%. People are sick to the back teeth of the Tories. It's clear. And they're going to suffer what I think might even be an extinction level event at the general election. And tonight, Thursday night, when the local council election results start being counted, I expect them to lose about half their seats. So it's going to be really bad for them. But the point is, Adrian, that people, we don't really have a choice. People are going to vote for Labour. They're going to become the next government. We've talked about that often enough. We understand that. What that means is Labour were the party that wanted us to lock us down longer. They wanted us, have all the COVID restrictions upon us for much longer as well. So everything that Labour is 100% in support of Ukraine. So it's the same globalist agenda, Adrian, isn't it, really? Whether it's the blue team or the red team, they're selling you the same poison.
Well, it is. It's 100%. But unfortunately, there's too many just haven't realised that yet. And unfortunately, once Labour get in, we know the borders will be open. We know that the state benefits will cripple the country even more, because they will just hand it out over fist because they want people reliant on the state.
Yes.
Rather than trying to fend for themselves. And unfortunately, people, look at furlough. People didn't want to go to work because they were being paid to stay at home. Mm. You know what I mean? And if they're going to get the same, we all know Labour will be a disaster, but unfortunately, people just cannot see through the...
If only we had 700 million guns to fight them off.
Or Guy Fawkes.
And just like that, the 700
million
guns.
I beat you to it. I already did it in the comments.
I'll see you, Paddy. But Paddy, just following on from what Adrian was saying there, let me ask you this. Is the problem the politicians or is the problem the people?
It's a combination of both. The problem is that people are no longer educated. People no longer have really any idea of what government really does and how it works. And like I commented earlier in the comments, was the politicians hold a certain amount of power, but it's the civil service. that believes they are in charge, because they never change. The politicians change. The civil servants, especially the high level servants, they never change. And they are, and like I said, it's like that's where you get all these crazy regulations, and and it's like they're the ones, they're the hidden government, you know. That's the, you know, the conspiracy phrase just fell out of my head. I can't think of what it is. But the the politicians are all bad. The problem is we don't. We have no one new to choose from. There's nobody. Where are the new outside voices, and how can the outside voices get in? I mean, your system is more locked up than ours of who can serve and who cannot, and who can run and who can be. And they keep picking the same. They keep recycling the same bad ideas. Communism is communism, and it's never worked. And I don't care how educated you were taught if you did it, it would work. It won't.
But it's not just communism. Like, Paddy, you take today, and Jed, you can come in this one too, and Adrian. Like, London, as well as electing local councils across the length and breadth of England and Wales, there's also several mayoral contests, including that in London. And in London, Sadiq Khan, the Muslim mayor of London, who's presided over turning London into basically the third world, I reckon he's going to get in with a strong majority when we get to see the results. Yeah. And therein lies a real problem, Paddy, because it's not communism you're getting. It's globalism / with a dash of Islamism.
Well, globally, when I
that's
say
what people are voting for.
When I say communism, to me, you know, communism, people get, it's the term was destroyed because of, I'm not thinking about the old Cold War days. Communism, in my view, and everything, and it's government controls everything. And no matter what party they are over there or over here, it's government control. And the bureaucrats truly control the government. And it's just like, they want to tell us what, and it does not work. And it's, we're witnessing a complete collapse worldwide. And the globalists think it's their answer to it, or the collapse is, well, we'll take complete control of the whole world and then we'll really fix it. No, you'll have millions dead.
But they want that. They're happy to have millions dead. That's the problem. Adrian, would you not agree?
Sorry, pardon me.
I'm just saying globalism, Paddy's saying, you know, the chaos we have, you could end up with millions dead. And I'm going, yeah, they'd like that.
Yeah, sorry, I was munching on a biscuit, so.
Sorry.
Apologies. Yeah, they do.
Good morning.
Pardon me, they do. And the countless wars show that they don't care. They don't care about the people. As long as they can force through their agendas, they will sacrifice tens of thousands, millions, no problem. You know, we've seen that. Countless wars that we've been lied into. Look at that Afghanistan war and Iraq war that went on for 20 years. You know, and if governments are willing to do that, nothing's off the table.
No, nothing. Well, that's right. Jed, how do you feel about the fact that Sadiq Khan is likely to be re-elected, possibly with an increased majority, after the last 4 years of hell in London?
I feel saddened, firstly, but it's inevitable once your capital city no longer is representing the native population of the country. So I think that's part of the issue. But the other one is, I think, you know, we're getting, and it's been a comment mentioned, and I think Grantonia started the comment. So, and it was that the youngsters don't know what freedom is. And I think that's fundamentally what's wrong. Because if you don't understand what freedom is and what freedom means, you're willing to sell it down the river for the next you know, like or heart on a social media app, etc., etc. And until you've lost that freedom, you don't understand what freedom is. But once you've lost that freedom, you no longer have it. And that sounds obvious. And it sounds obvious to me, to you, to the people listening. But I think the fundamental, what we've now got is a generation or two that have been brought up in this woke agenda ideology that now go, yeah, Sadiq Khan is the man for me, because Sadiq Khan is going to make London greener, London this, going to build these houses, he's going to do none of that bullshit. All he's going to do is tax you out of your car. He's going to make you pay for every journey that you make, to the point when you start making it on foot or bicycle, he will also start to charge you on that. And the reason for that is his policies and the left-wing policies, all they do is suck cash from people. They don't actually produce anything. They're all about taxation of different forms, whether it be a green tax, whether it be the ULEZ, whether it be the congestion charge, whatever it might be, it's just sucking money out of you, because it wants you poor, it wants you dependent on the state. So therefore you can line up and get your Agent Orange every week. That's your supplement for the week. Away you go. Carry on in your mundane life and in your mundane job. Oh, by the way, you could be debt free because the government will buy your house and all your debt from you. But don't worry, you can live in your house until you die. Have we heard those words before, where you can sell your house now but live in it till you die? Have the money now to live on. We have, haven't we? Equity release. What does that do? It actually strips your assets away from you, so you have nothing to pass on to your grandchildren or your children. That's what equity release, and that's what the government should.
Right. I just wanted to make a point that I'll read out a point Antonio made here on the mainstream. He says, also, the demographics who are voting for Khan actually think that London is doing okay because it's so much better than where they come from. And I think that's a great point, Grantonio. I think that's true. And, you know, but you do see, David, guys.
Sorry, Adrian. Yeah. I wanted to make a quick point, and it sort of feeds into what Grantonio was saying. There was a Dutch lady speaking at the Hungarian CPAC last week. And she was talking about how Amsterdam, The Hague, Rotterdam, London are now all, the majority is with the new population, shall we call them, that they now outnumber the indigenous people in those major cities. Yes. And she's saying it is definitely the plan to destroy Western Christian civilization. And as Grantonio said, the majority of the people that are in London are freshly in and are voting for Khan and thinking, this is great, we're being handed everything, free housing, money, the lot.
Yeah.
Can I add to that, David? Because I do at the weekends to try and just chillax, as the youngsters would say nowadays, and probably that's even uncool for me to say that. I do tend to watch, you know, a DVD or two on a Sunday just with my feet up. Obviously, it's the Miami Grand Prix this weekend, so I won't be doing that. But I watched I Am Legend last Sunday. And at the end of that movie, although I do like the movie and I do think it's great, and I do think it's possibly a possible thing that could happen. Cancer drug, yeah, goes wrong, kills people. Rings a bell, that, doesn't it? At the end of that movie, there's an enclave that the young lady and her son go to. And I think, you know, in the Mad Max era that we're heading towards, I think that's where we could end up, where the indigenous people are in this enclave with a massive wall, nobody gets in, nobody gets out, and then the rest of the country just falls apart on the outside because it's full of low IQ people from foreign lands. The reason the countries are shithole countries, sorry, David, but shithole countries, is because of the people in them. And if we import those people, we're going to import is a shithole country.
Well, but that's exactly what we're turning into. That's what parts of London have already turned into. And, you know, Anne-Marie here brings up in the stream, I'm sure everyone saw this in the news, about a 14-year-old boy who was killed by a man with a sword. A sword. A guy of apparently Spanish Brazilian extraction, whatever that means, has been charged with the murder. But this is, Jed, the whole, you know, you're coming from these asshole countries. This is what happens. They bring violence with them. They come from places where violence is very normal. We don't. Typically, I guess, everybody I'm not sure what it's like, Paddy, your way, but certainly here, you know, violence, by and large, is not a feature of everyday life. But it is in these third world countries. And as Leslie says, the guy that's been charged undoubtedly will be proven to have mental health issues. Meanwhile, a little 14-year-old boy lies in his coffin. And that's the reality of where this all leads. And who's it said mentioned Amsterdam? Yeah, because did you see also another same thing on the Amsterdam tube, which I've been on several times? A Muslim lady waving a large machete slash knife around. I mean, this is the reality of where we're going. And tonight's going to be really interesting when we get all these election results across England and Wales, because I think we're in a bad place and we are going into the worst place, I think, which will give us guys lots to talk about. But I mean, you know, I'd rather it wasn't happening. But that's where it is, you know, and the people rush from the blue team to the red team, not aware of the fact, or maybe just too stupid to understand, the red team's going to destroy them just as much, maybe even faster for what it's worth. You know, Paddy says in his country, violence has only occurred amongst 10%. Yeah, but that's rising, Paddy, because of the millions you have got pouring in your southern border. I mean, so in a sense, it is, we talk about this all the time. It's the same thing. US, UK, Europe, whatever. Same thing. Borders.
My point with that is like there's a solid 10% of the American culture, the inner cities and the high poverty areas that have always been high drug rates, high crime rates, high everything else, where violence, where you don't want to walk down the street. That's always been it. Now they're importing more, and so the number is growing. But even as like as militant as my nation is, 90% of it is safe to walk around, safe to be in, and everything else. It's just that, you know, but there is a solid 10%. That has never been. And that, like you said, that number is growing with the more imports, with the 20 million we just allowed in.
Well, actually, Paddy, you know, let's just jump to your country then, to the States, because there's several things to talk about there. We've seen all these protests at the universities and just how violent some of them have been. And I wonder, where do you stand in that, Paddy? I mean, obviously, we've seen as a Columbia and whatnot. I mean, are you saying that students should?
Are you asking me really where I stand on this?
Yeah, yeah. Are you some kind of bigot that just wants to see kids, innocent students, battered over the head? Just because?
Yes.
Come on, let's hear from you.
Where are the dogs in the fire hoses? This stuff should have been ended the day one. I'm sorry. You're there on number one. Most of them are there on student loans. All student loans are government funded. So you're there on the taxpayer dollar. And you're there and you're going to scream death to America and all this and everything else. The best thing I saw, which summed it up perfectly for me, was after they seized control of that building at Columbia, the female spokesperson wrapped in her tablecloth around her neck, came out and demanded that they be fed, because after all, they paid for a meal plan with their tuition. They're entitled to be fed. Well, they where's the food? They should be sending. These people just seized a building and destroyed it. And they want and they expect the college to feed them.
Well, they did. Yeah. I mean, Adrian, what did you reckon to the student riots that? Apparently, some UK universities as well, they're trying to set up camp. Did you see that, Adrian?
I did indeed. And first and foremost, I want to know who's funding them.
George Soros. You know, because George Soros tied to
They're out there with placards and all sorts. It's well organized, you know. So who's doing that? But you also had Eric Adams saying that there are known terrorists within these protests. So hold on, you've openly admitted that there's terrorists in American society trying to subvert the society? Whoa, that's a major admission, Mayor Adams. You know, this is the seriousness of it. This is the new BLM.
It's the
same people, just in a different, you know, Halloween mask kind of thing, different costume. It's the exact same people, and they'll now, you know, try and drive this the way they did. What, 2020, wasn't it? I think he
Well, yeah. Funny enough, Adrian, in another presidential year, we saw BLM. Now we're seeing these. But as I agree with your analysis, Jed. You've watched some of this, I'm sure, some of the stuff going on at the American campuses. I mean, what do you reckon? I mean, I think there's a consensus here that it's all funded. I saw images of the tents that the students are using, Jed, in the different unis. They're all the same tent. That's a bloody big coincidence, isn't it? See, exactly the same type of tent.
It is, isn't it? So that would lead you to it is being funded. Can I just say, guys that are experiencing sound issues on Getter again, I'm really sorry. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to fix it. I'm doing my best in the background. If you really want to listen to this podcast, get the app. Get the app. It's the best sound quality you're going to get. Yes, it's funny, isn't it, David, that... And you can see it. You can see how it's being funded. It's being funded by your George Soros's of this world, just to name one. But and that's where, because what they've done, they've now captured those institutions. They've captured those kids. Those kids are all woke. They're all left wing. So all it then needs is, well, look, this is our cause, guys. You know, this is yeah. Go out and protest. Here's some money. For George Soros, one of the richest men, if not the richest man on the planet, to spend 50 million, 100 million on a project that would destabilize the government, well, great. Because you know what? I bet you he's got money on the fact that the government is going to collapse or the government is going to survive. You know, he brought down the British economy, didn't he?
Yep.
And he bet on it. And he made billions on that. Yeah. You know, and if a man who was spurred his life, who sided with that conflict that happened, that minor disagreement, as it's called by Otto Shenanigans, that minor disagreement in 1940, if he sided with them, you know, he's an underhanded, dirty, down low dog that you could ever imagine. And he would sell his own family and watch them be slaughtered just to save his own hide. And if he's willing to do that with his own family, I know that's what he would do. He would do that in a blink of an eye to anybody else. And he now has the money and the power to do that. And he is funding the collapse of the West because he'll have a bet on it.
Okay, well, and the other thing sort of in parallel with that I wanted to bring up was in, Patty, and this is directed at you, in the U.S. House, we had the Anti-Semitism Act that was, I believe, Patty, voted through yesterday. And Jed, you need to mute your mic. In that act, Patty, as far as I understand it, just saying, for example, the Jews killed Christ could be seen to be anti-Semitic. So I would argue that the House has just criminalized the Bible. What do you say about that?
They just made it formal. They just made it formal. I mean, come on, the FBI's been trying to get priests to act as informants for the last 3 years, and planting people in the Catholic Church and stuff like that. It's the attack on Christianity and especially Catholics in my country has been going on for decades, but it is just intensified in the last 10 years so incredibly. And the group that's in power right now, like I said, they just let in 20 million people. They have no friggin' clue who these people are. We've got terrorist cells setting up in everything. Every one of these protests are terrorist groups. These are Hamas. These are terrorists. These aren't freedom of speech protesters. And they've allowed all these. Yet my government stance is the biggest threat to the country is so-called Christian nationalists.
But I mean, Paddy, it's one thing to say that. It is another thing to bring in actual law.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I know, and they make it feel like they did something. And the thing is, and this is bipartisan, it'll pass all the way through. But it's one of those laws that should be struck down immediately, because number one, it affects speech, and you cannot. And there's this one thing. It's this little item. It's called the First Amendment, which means I can say whatever the hell I want. Period. As long as I'm not calling for that one's death or this one's death, you can do it. And that's what those clowns on those campuses are. They're calling for people's deaths, so they could be immediately locked up. There's all sorts of hate speech laws that have always existed in the union.
Yeah, we don't. That's the point. We don't need any more laws. Very specific. You've got enough laws. You've got enough. And just on this anti-Semitism thing, there's enough anti-Semitic laws. There really is. We don't need any more. And if you look at the detail behind that legislation, what struck me, Paddy, and I'm sure Jed and Adrian, you would agree, that I don't believe any of the so-called lawmakers read the detail.
They never read anything. They never read these bills. I know. No. But, no.
Yeah, but then once it becomes law, it's a bit too late in the day, and that's actually what I think it's going to be. I reckon Christians will be potentially prosecuted under this legislation just for saying things and anything critical of Israel. Well, listen,
Christians are the real target. They've been trying to lock them up from the kick. This whole administration.
Yeah, sorry, Adrian, you want to jump in?
I was going to say, if that's the case, then the Jews can't read the Talmud. Because in the Talmud, it says the Jews killed Jesus. So the law brought in to protect the Jews is stopping them from reading their own holy book too.
Yeah.
These people making these laws are stupid. Like, there's no thought process in this. This is just another attack on Christianity and the West.
Yeah.
Because if they truly cared about the Jews, they would understand that the same language is in their holy book.
Yeah.
But to me, this is just purely an attack on the West and Christianity itself. Mm, and we've seen the Satanism everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, this just ties in with everything that we're all seeing.
Jed, do you want to jump in on this one, in terms of that new law? It's like they're using anti-Semitism to attack Christianity, which is kind of bad.
It's not just kind of bad, it's bizarre, isn't it? Again, we're getting an inversion of reality. Just like when they say, a man is a woman is a man. I've had to stop the stream to the other locations, David. I don't know what's going on at the moment. But it is that inversion, isn't it, of everything that we know to be true, everything that we know to be correct. It's that inversion. And people like me, you, and the good folks that listen to us, we can see it. And I don't understand why other people can't see it. You got that lunatic over in Australia with an e-safety bill, threatening to have people locked up because they do memes. And she thinks that everything that she's ran, and anybody that says anything about COVID or anybody that says anything about the Twin Towers, because that's another thing as well, isn't it, that's come up recently in the US, or anybody that denies whatever, should be locked up.
Yep.
And that's what I mean. That's what I mentioned about the lefties who now are quite happy to give their freedoms away. And they're quite happy to give their freedom away, but what they don't realise is they're giving my freedom away. And when that freedom is gone, there is no coming back from that. The only way you get your freedom back from that is revolution. We had an invasion over many centuries. We had the Romans, whatever the Romans said, whatever the Romans ever done for us, absolutely, well, apart from the roads and the sanitation, but an education. But we put up with the Romans. It's almost like it's the same situation now, but it's migrants coming over or it's woke college students who are now ticking over and thinking, yes, we know everything's going to be right. We've got our utopia and everything's going to be great. But there never is a utopia. There is only ever on the other side, once you've got rid of your freedom, there's only ever then suffering, death, and destruction. Well, and when you've had enough suffering, death, and destruction, the only way out of that is revolution.
Paddy says, I disagree with several opinions held by our host, but I would fight to the death for him to have them. How dare you disagree with anything I think, said E-Troll. How dare you?
I'll show you the pictures of the guy. I'll show you the pictures of where the lunar module is sitting on the moon, David. Oh, yeah, and I'm not even going into 9/11.
Yeah. Imagine believing in 9/11 was what they tell us it was. But anyway, listen, I wanted to get to this one. I mean, by the way, folks, just normal rules apply. If we get to 9 o'clock and we've got a 2,000 pod bean things in the can, we go on for an extra half an hour. And this is a cracker. I want to get. Cheers, Grantonio, for the beer. I appreciate that. I'm sitting sipping water, so that would be better. I wanted to get to the Irish situation because this is a corker. Hi, JVM. Actually, I just and Cully. I see some of the other guys, Joel, all there. Thank you for being there. Right, Ireland has basically gone to war with the UK over migrants, and I'm sure everyone's got an opinion on this one. Basic story for those who don't know it, which you probably all should know it, is that the Irish government have said, hey, listen, Brits, we're going to start sending migrants back to presumably where Adrian and I live in Northern Ireland. We're going to send them back there because they've come from there and we will not put up with it. And then Rishi Sunak said, well, we're not accepting them back. And there it goes. And so it goes. So, Adrian, given that we're being told, you and I are being asked to believe, there's a tsunami of migrants from presumably the third world funneling their way from Belfast to Newry to Dublin and then into Tent City down there. Do you believe any of that in the first place?
Do you know what? It must be happening in the absolute dead of night.
Yeah.
Because nobody's seeing it. None of the news is reporting on it. You know, nobody's talking about this apart from the Irish government. So, where are these people coming from? You know, are they being flown in directly, you know, to Northern Ireland and then shipped down to Dublin in the dead of night? Because we would know about this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just complete bull crap, I think Paddy calls it.
It's complete BS, as Jed would say as well. It really is because we live here and you don't see it.
We have had some new additions to the neighbourhood. Where I live is all white.
Yeah.
There is the odd Indian family and Chinese family who have been there for years, but where I am is white. And now we are seeing a lot more, shall we say,
diversity?
Yeah, probably the best way to put it.
Diversity.
But there is not... there's not an influx of tens of thousands of people. Definitely.
There's really not. No, I mean, this is the thing. Adrian and I are on the ground. Adrian, you made a really good point there. If this had been happening, like the Irish government allege, the Northern Ireland media would have been on it. But they've said nothing. And we've seen nothing. And that makes me suggest that absolutely nothing's happening.
Because the do-gooders here would have been out in force trying to get blankets and food and donations for them, you know, and we've had nothing. So how the Irish government think they can pull this one,
I think it's a distraction. The Irish government is in such a mess over the fact that the Irish people seem to be rising up against them and their whole migrant policy, that it's maybe, you know, the old classic tactic of when all else goes wrong, blame the Brits. But Jed, would you be happy if Ireland started to send back some migrants from Ireland to the UK? You'd be good with that, would you?
I'll tell you what, I'd make them a deal. For every migrant they send back to us, we send 10 back to France.
Mm.
Bear in mind, because the Southern Ireland is part of the EU.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Why can't I send them back? Yeah, to France. If they want to send them back to us, so what they're saying is, oh, all these people are coming to Ireland through the Northern Irish border. Well, there's two ways you can stop that. We'll take them back if we can send 10 back to France. And bear in mind, you're in the same club as France. Or you build a wall. You build a border. Because remember, without a border, you don't have a country. So if you're now complaining that your border is porous, well, build one.
Ireland
will build a border, won't it? It will build one. If we keep saying no, it will build a border. It will set two fingers up to that so-called peace agreement. Yeah, it wasn't a peace agreement. It was tourists get off scot-free and the British soldiers will get punished and run into their grave. Yeah, but build a wall. Build a wall. I'm telling you now, build a wall. If you're Southern Ireland, build the wall.
Right. Well, I don't think they will build a wall because it's all play acting. It's all a game. For example, Jed, this amused me the other day. Yes, Max, it was 100% in the appeasement process, and I wrote a book about it, so I know exactly what happened. Jed, this amused me. The Irish government said, right, we're going to get tough. We're going to send police. We need to stop them coming across that border. So we're going to send police. The Irish police are going to the border. Right? So then people said, right, whereabouts in the border are they going? And then the Irish government said, yeah, well, we're sending them near the border. We're sending them near the border. You see, the Irish border is completely dynamite topic. The Irish government stopped Northern Ireland and in particular getting the full Brexit because they needed it to be, they said, oh no, we have to have an open border. It must be an open border. Well, now, Jed, they've got the open border, so slap it up them, Jed.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, mate. That's what I mean. Yeah. What you wish for is now coming on to bite you in the arse. Yeah. Because you said you can't leave the EU because you can't put a border on the edge of your country.
All right.
So we're not going to do that. I think we should have.
Yes.
But we're not going to do that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And now it's come to bite them in the arse. And now, I'm telling you, there will be cries in Southern Ireland to build that wall, and they'll just sound just like Trump. We want to protect our space, which is exactly what Trump wanted to do. There is nothing wrong in that, absolutely nothing wrong. You wanted to protect your
government's
land,
duty.
But I just wish the British, it is, but I just wish the British government will protect our southern border as well, the English Channel. But it won't because it's spineless. And it's spineless because really what it wants more of these people and less of us. That's actually what it wants. It wants low IQ, foreign immigrants that they can control, have on benefits, feed with Agent Orange every month. There you go. And here's your paycheck. Oh, by the way, you don't have anywhere to live, but we'll give you somewhere as long as you keep doing what we tell you to do. That's what they want.
Yep. You're dead right, Jed. Paddy, I mean, I know you do follow matters Irish and whatnot, and as you and I have done for a long time. And there is a sweet irony in the fact that the Irish Republic government, yes, Man Marie says the same. You can't have it both ways. The Irish have become quite selfish. Paddy, they did nothing but complain about the fact that they must have an open border.
Oh, it was the end of the world. It was the end of the world. You couldn't have a hard border.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now stuff is flowing into their air. Oh, wait a minute. We need a hard border. Sorry.
Yeah.
Unintended consequences always come the same way. They come to bite you in the ass. When you make these fairy tale policies, sooner or later, they're going to hang you.
Well, yeah, you're right, but I agree with both you and Jed. But I also am with Adrian in the sense of I think this is all just a complete distraction story. Anyway, it isn't happening. The problem is that the Irish people, and this is why I'm proud of them, or at least some of them, have started to agitate. They're not happy at all. They're seeing these migrants being bussed into their local communities. They're seeing, we see that in Newton, Mount Kennedy. And you know, so the Irish are basically, it's on the boil. I think it's on the boil anyway. I don't know if you'd agree, Adrian, but I get the sense that the Irish political class are not happy. And in fact, actually, the previous Taoiseach said the other day, Adrian, that we need to use COVID-style tactics in talking to the public about migration. Adrian?
No, definitely not. You know, I follow a couple of profiles on Telegram One is Philip O'Dwyer, and the other one's the Irish Git. And they put out great stuff. They turn up to all the protests, and they're talking about all the stuff that's happening in all the small towns. It's not just Dublin. It's not Cork. Right. It's Mullingar. It's Westport. It's Mayo. It's everywhere it's happening. Yep. Women are being attacked. Locals are being forced out of housing to make way for these people. And that's where those families have grown up for generations. And the people are rising up, and they are sick of it. They're now realizing what the EU and open borders and all means, and they realize now they don't want it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I see David Clements is saying that Jim O'Doherty, my good friend, says it's a psyop. Jim always says that about these things when there's a bit of uprising. I don't doubt, David Clements, that there's elements of state activity within
some of these. Isn't it funny how the Irish government couldn't send all the IRA murderers back to the UK to face justice, isn't it?
Oh, no, couldn't do that. No.
Sorry.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't have said that, but
they're right. Yeah. No, look, the Irish government is going to, I mean, we're talking about the fact that the Scottish government's going through massive, stress. And we're going to see overnight the English, the Conservative government go through the same. And we've seen the Welsh government goes through stress. And even here in Northern Ireland, there's going to be stresses. Sure. It seems to be almost across the entire West.
But yeah,
this is payback time.
Have you seen there's 36 cities that have been selected to be WEF smart cities?
Yeah.
Like Belfast is one, Aberdeen's one, there's Leeds, there's a couple down south as well. So this is them preparing the ground for that.
Oh, I have no doubt about it that there is a globalist plan at the very heart of this, for sure. But I just thought to myself, the Irish have some nerve, and I, David Clements, which I have a lot of respect for Gemma, and I do agree that there's elements of state involvement in all of this, because there always is. I do think, though, there's a genuine element of, as what Adrian said is right, this is across Ireland. It's not just Dublin. In fact, Dublin is by no means necessarily the worst bit of it. It's in the more rural areas. But then it's the same as England as well. Guys, I mean, if we talk about London a lot, and maybe, maybe Birmingham, but how many other English towns and cities are being dramatically changed? I mean, we sent back, Jed, I want to get this out and then you pile in. We sent one guy back to Rwanda because he volunteered to go back, right? He wasn't deported. He got $3,000 in his back pocket and he took the flight to Rwanda. And people are going, yeah, it's amazing. It's working so well. Yesterday, I think there were 750 come in. In the past week, there's been over 1,500 come in. I mean, they're going off into towns and cities and places as well, Jed. That's how you're going to get, deformed out of all recognition as a country as well. So it's the same problem. It's just you're a very big country and Ireland's a very small country.
Design. It's all by design, David. They want us gone. They want the low IQ immigrant. And, I'm saying low IQ immigrant. And I can hear a lefty shouting now, screaming at the top of their voice, on the knees with the hands and the face lifted to the heavens, screaming, you're a racist, because these are doctors and nurses. No, they're not. They're not doctors and nurses.
They're not
surgeons. They're not engineers. They're not computer scientists. They're not. They are none of the above. They are low grade, low IQ, savages, to be honest. They are what the British Empire used to go around and tame, for a better phrase. We used to go across the globe and tame these savage lands and turn them into something nice. We did it with India. We did it with Jamaica, etc., etc., just to name a couple. And what we've now got is those countries are in theory, for example, India are flourishing. But the other third world countries, and the reason they are called third world countries is because they would be a first world country if they weren't corrupt. And it's the corruption that keeps the people down, that keeps the people stupid, that keeps the people in poverty. And that is what we're importing. We're importing stupid, dangerous people. People who are quite happy. And you see it. You see it on the estates and wherever they put. It's a nice housing estate. And then the next thing, there's piles of shit outside. Why? Because you go to the wrong country, you go outside the mud huts and the whatever, and in the rivers and in the valleys, they just pile the shit as high as they can pile it. Why? Because they don't know any different. They are numb as... I nearly used an F word there.
Yeah,
But you get it. They are numb. And then we bring them here, and it's exactly what they do here.
No,
but they can be manipulated by the government. Here's a pack of fags. Here's 30 quid. Here's a mobile phone contract that we're all paying for. Here's 3 meals a day. Now you're sorted. Now go and rape 1,400 children in Rotherham or in Telford or wherever it is. Don't worry, because we won't bring it up, because that would be racist.
Right. Okay. Right. Grantonio, I know you're not feeling well this evening, so thank you so much for phoning in. Do you want to comment on what you've been hearing?
Thank you, David. I've got a couple of things I want to say with reference to what Jed was saying, and that's why I've rang in. I am currently in Solihull. Solihull is quite a posh suburb of the West Midlands. Yep. It was recently voted, well, it was in the Daily Mail anyway, the number one nicest part of the country to live in, and that was about 5 or 6 years ago. But I've noticed in the past 5 or 6 years the serious demographic changes that are happening here. I might have said this on the show once before, but forgive me if I'm repeating myself. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. I went into a McDonald's in Solihull, and there wasn't just one white girl wearing a hijab serving me. There were two. I think that's very significant. Two white girls wearing hijabs. It's just fascinating, the demographics. It's changed. I'd say it's fallen, actually. But I've got a couple of points to bring up about what Jed was saying with regards to low IQ. I've joined the gym recently because I'm down here for a month. anything to get away from Scotland for a month. But
Grantonio, you leave the country and the government goes into free fall.
It's a long way to go for a gym. Isn't it?
It is. What was I going to say? I'm in the gym. I've joined the gym recently in Solihull. It must be 70% Pakistani to 30% white. I mean, even if it's not that, even if it's 60% to 40% white, it's just fascinating. I was chatting to a young Pakistani lad a couple of days ago, and we just got onto the subject of where I was from. I told him I was from Scotland. He said, "Where's Scotland?" And I said, "Well, it's sort of, you know, north of England." He went, "Oh, right." And then I got asking him about his life, and he said he was doing his A-levels and he was about to go to university. So with regards to what Jed was saying about the low IQ, what to say there? But the other thing is, it's a bit more nuanced. There's a street around the corner from me, and there's a very posh school around the corner. And of the mornings and the afternoons, you see the families dropping their kids off. I don't know if they're Indian or Pakistani. I'm going to make the assumption that they're Indian, but I could be wrong. But they are, again, probably 8 to 2 dark-skinned people. So it's not just that they're... What's the word I'm looking for? The demographics are changing, and you know, white people are getting pushed out. We're getting educated out as well. So I mean, that is fascinating. Posh school, and it tends to be, you know, the ethnic minorities sending their kids there, and of course a young lad who's telling me he's off to university and doesn't know where Scotland is on a map. So this is really worrying in terms of where the country's going. Really worrying. But thank you for letting
me come in. Sounds like a future prime minister there in the making.
Go on, Adrian. I missed that, Adrian.
I said he sounds like a future prime minister in the making. If he's that smart that he can't tell you where Scotland is, it's 100 yards up the road, you know.
I mean, I could laugh, Adrian. But when I have those kind of conversations with people, I always find it really sad, actually. Really sad. And then, of course, I've got family members. I don't want to go into it too much. And their children are, you know, around the age of 10 and under. And they struggle to point to certain countries on a map. And I keep stressing to brothers and things the importance of education. And it's it's this lack of education that's going to do us all in the end, when it's the sort of indigenous white people who are not becoming the doctors,
because
the lawyers.
Our schools are more worried now about teaching sex education and gender ideology to six-year-olds, yes, than actually teaching them something worthwhile.
Agreed.
And can I add to that? Because I do see this myself, and I'll just give you a bit of context. For the past 25, 30 years, I haven't slept very well at all. So I'm often up in the middle of the night. And I just put something on for noise, if you see what I mean. So I'll go onto Netflix and I'll stick, for example, Gogglebox, and you've heard me mention it before, and I'll stick all reruns of Gogglebox on. And it's not there because I enjoy watching it. It's there for noise, okay? And then being an old soldier as well, you have tinnitus, and it's there for noise. But I often hear it, and I do see it, and I do listen. And some of the things of those people, now some are university age, and bear in mind we're now talking, they're probably in the mid-20s or even early 30s now, because obviously I'm watching reruns. But even the adults of these people, there are some of them who are perhaps slightly younger than me, but not very much younger than me. And I know Leslie's going to say, but Jed, you're a spring chicken. I know, Leslie, you're my favourite. You're my favourite supporter. But the point is, and they sit there and say things, and the parents will, some of the older parents will say something, and the kids will go, what? What's that? What does that mean? And I can't give you a for instance right now, but you sit there and you go, what do you mean you don't know that? And it's just like Grantonio has just said, they don't know where Scotland is. They probably don't know where Wales is. Yeah. Probably don't even know if they live in Birmingham where Manchester is. You know, but it's the same. I've shown some of those videos on our Wednesday night when we used to do a Wednesday night show, David, where, you know, the guy goes around and he's interviewing American college students. And he asked that question and none of them can get it right. You've seen a few of them we've done on that night. And I think it is. It's the dumbing down of the education system, because it's more about, as exactly Grantonio said, it's more about what genitals you have and what you don't have and what you feel and what you don't feel. Well, rather than, here's a bit of geography, and I'm going to say this in English so everybody understands except Paddy, and they talk about maths. It's got an S on the end.
Wow.
Yeah. Or science. Yeah. Not math. It's maths, Paddy. It's got an S on the end. But you see what I mean, and they're more interested in talking about people's genitals and how they feel than they are about real hardcore facts, because facts are a problem to the woke, because the woke can't deal with facts
in science, they can't deal with facts in reality, they can't deal with facts, period. The truth scares the living.
But also, to my point, yeah, Jed, it is a bit more nuanced to say that, I can't remember what the phrase you used, but about the dumbing down and how a lot of these migrants are, and it's just an indisputable fact, low IQ. But again, we've got this concept of a lot of these immigrants out-educating us. You can't deny that in certain fields. You know, as I say, medicine and other things, it does seem to be.
Just calm yourself down now. Just calm yourself down there, because we've just had a recent scandal ourselves, haven't we? Where a pile of Nigerian nurses have come over to assist in this NHS, but that would only ever survive because we have immigrant nurses and doctors. It will collapse otherwise, apparently, according to Labour and the left. But actually, they don't have qualifications. It's a bit like when I started out in the IT field when I left the army. And one of the first guys I ever worked with, he said, two things he told me. He said, Jed, become a limited company. And I did, and I didn't look back from that. And he said, and the other thing is, if anybody ever comes to you and says they earned the qualification in India, they haven't. They bought a qualification from India. And that's what I mean. These Nigerian nurses that came over to work in the NHS bought a qualification. They saved up some money, they paid for a call, and then they came over. And I don't want to say too much, but I think I've come across some of those very recently, because they are thick as pig, and then it begins with S. They really are dumb. They're dumber than dumb. Even Dumber and Dumber would make him look smart. Okay? And that's all I'll say. I've come across...
I want to make an outside observation, though. Something. I'm going to take this...
Go ahead.
I'm going to take this totally off course for a second. One thing that I've observed over the past... Five years. Since this whole Brexit and immigration thing, the whole collapse, which is the whole flood of the immigration thing, is the IRA has truly been tamed. For 100 years, the IRA planted bombs, killed, declared war on England, and this and that and everything else. Yet, because they invaded Ireland, they weren't Irish, and they're not. Yet they're bending over and accepting the invasion from the whole entire rest of the world. So the IRA truly has been tamed, or has truly been declawed or deteethed, whatever you want to look at it, because, you know, from their stance on how they were towards British rule, if it was applied to what's going on today, there'd be bombs going off left and right, and you don't see that. I just find that as an observation of, you know, how toothless the IRA itself has become, which is a good thing.
They've also become de-Catholicized, Paddy, if indeed they were ever Catholics in the first
place. They were never Catholic.
Well, indeed.
Even the Pope isn't Catholic.
The Pope's a commie, and I wouldn't say he's the Antichrist, but he's darn close.
So you believe but you don't believe 9/11? So I believe
9/11. I believe Arabs flew a bunch of planes into a bunch of buildings, and Building 7 collapsed because of the instability of the ground.
Yeah, but you don't believe about landing on the moon. You believe that one as well, don't you?
What about the moon? We got people up there right now, man, waving down at you. They're spying on you from up there.
No, you're looking at Swiss cheese, and he's not the same.
Yeah, actually, Grantonio, I just want to come back to you for a second. You mentioned Solihull, which is a posh part of the West Midlands, if I remember right. And I knew someone who lived there, but I'm going back now, sadly, maybe 40 years. And that was seen to be an achievement, you know, for a business person to get a house, a nice house in that neck of the woods. So it is staggering to see the changes, you know, and they're going to get worse, friends. This is not going to get better, because just on the labor side of things, labor have said that they will accept in tens of thousands of these channel migrants on the basis that they can then process them quicker. So the waiting list will go down because they're letting them basically run riot across the whole of the country. Listen, this is the Killergy plan. I'm not sure if you agree with that or not, Paddy, but it is. It absolutely is. It's a great replacement. It's happening all around the world. Not happening in the East. Now, there's a shocker. Happening here in the West.
East is making sure it's all coming in us, and they're sitting back laughing their asses off.
Oh, it's happening in Japan, though.
No.
It's now happening
Japan is the West.
But hang on. And my lad lives in Japan, and there is now a noticeable, and it's only just started, but there is a noticeable downgrade in society. You couldn't find any litter in Japan, for example, on the streets, because Japanese just don't throw litter. Simple as that. And if they see litter, they pick it up and put it away.
Yes,
but now there's shit on the street. There's all sorts. And they've just gone, because they're in a demographic decline, a massive demographic decline. They've just gone, we need migrants. And that's the problem. That is where the government's convinced you need migration, because they put so many pressures on the family, and they break the family up, and the birth rate starts to fall because you've no job security. You can't buy your house. You can't do this, that, and the other. So why have a family? And then they go, we're not having any children, so now we have to mass import these low IQ.
Yeah, but all they have to do is do what Putin done and Orban done, is give tax breaks to those families, encourage them to increase the birth rate.
Stop talking sense. You know, how dare you? How dare you go on this podcast and talk sense?
I know I'm a bit radical at times with some of the things that I come off with, but do you know what I mean? yes, you can bring certain migrants in who can help boost the economy in certain areas, but surely you would be encouraging your own people to keep your own traditions and culture alive.
Well, they don't want to, do they? That's the problem, Adrian. They don't want to. They want us gone because we have an IQ. We have common sense. We have an understanding. They want the people that they can control. And you can't control people with an IQ. You can control dumbasses. You can control dumber and dumber. You can't control somebody who can think for themselves, who's a critical thinker and who's got some IQ.
Just to add to this sort of positive conversation we're having, I thought... yesterday, I just thought we're done. Parts of England have just completely fallen, and there's no coming back. Unless an economic crisis happens, in which case certain demographics will keep to themselves in certain areas, as indeed they probably already have been doing anyway. And just life will not be very easy for certain demographics, and they'll all start going home.
Can I just say, I am legend, and I'm in the enclave.
Well, I am legend. Right over their head. Right over their head. Jabs.
I've given you a good run there on that one. I wanted to finish off in the last section here on this whole issue of why many so-called political leaders are selected, not elected. Now, just for starters, we've got the outgoing First Minister of Scotland, Grantonio, our beloved Humza. He was never elected by the Scottish people. It was an internal party matter that got a vote that got him to where he wanted to be. Same with Rishi Sunak in England. Similarly with our friend in Wales. And then we've had one in Northern Ireland, which I wanted to touch on because it's given me huge amusement in the past few days. We've got a Maasai warrior now as the likely, well, no, she is the nominated mayor of Derry/Londonderry.
Londonderry, David. It's Londonderry. It's not Derry.
Yeah, I know.
It's Londonderry.
What warrior did you say, David? Or what warrior?
A Maasai.
What's that?
Have you heard of the Maasai warriors of Kenya?
All right, okay.
Kenya, yeah. Well, yeah, because apparently there's a big Maasai community. You know, there's not, I'm joking now. But she, so this race-grifting, yes, Max, she beat me to it. This absolute race-grifter is going to be the mayor of the city. And how did she get to be the mayor? Well, I'll tell you how. She suddenly appeared from nowhere, got into a party called the SDLP, and she got selected to be the mayor, Adrian. She didn't, which instantly meant that a couple of other councillors who'd been serving, they bailed out. So, I mean, it's all such a grift. Adrian, you've seen this one about the Maasai warrior.
Yeah, David, and I'm astounded that you don't know that the Maasai traditional migration route travels through Derry, Omagh, Strabane, Donegal every year. And, you know. I'm astounded you didn't know that, David.
But anyway, see, that's why I come here, Adrian, to be educated. Yeah.
Can we stop calling it Derry, please? Can we call it by its correct name, which is Londonderry? Otherwise, it wouldn't be there, would it? If it wasn't for London, it would not be there.
Jed, I have to type it out so many times a day, and depending on the person's name, depends what I have to type, whether it's
Derry. No, I get
if
it.
If it's Seamus, you have to type Derry. If it's William, you type London Derry. You have no idea.
Dancing through the social politics.
Yeah, but the other two candidates in that race, they actually have now left the party and are standing as independents because they felt the process was unfair. And they did not get a fair chance to stand or represent themselves to be the mayor, and they're saying that it was totally flawed. But why are people selected? Because the honest answer is they're narcissists. They want money, they want fame, they want power.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said a few minutes ago, I'm radical, you know, but I'm starting to think being governed by a bunch of paedophiles, perverts, deviants, thieves, whatever else you want to call them, who are controlled by intelligence agencies. You know, I don't think it's the ideal political structure for any country anymore, to be brutally honest. And until we decide we have had enough, nothing is going to change.
I'm getting some pushback, yeah, David. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. I'm getting some pushback off Anne-Marie there. When did London create Derry? It's Derry. I tell you when London created Derry, when it built it out with all the money that it needed to survive, that's when it became London Derry. Otherwise, they wouldn't have got the money and there wouldn't be a Derry anymore.
Just very quickly, with regard... Sorry, carry on, David.
No, I was just going to say, I just typed out, I am actually married to a Derry girl, so just...
A London Derry girl, you mean?
No, if you ask her if she was to join this conversation, she would say she was.
Oh, my God. That's just like Paddy saying they landed on the moon. Yeah. Or 9/11 was real.
I just can't believe there's a whole section that's one farm. You got one dairy farm for that everybody loves to belong to.
That's right. Okay.
How many cows are there?
Well, I wouldn't think that any cows in that area would probably be slaughtered. But anyway, yes, Leslie says, let's hear from Mrs. Vance. No, Leslie, Mrs. Vance has the very good sense to stay the hell away from
I'm sure she has.
She closes the door and sits and goes back to her business.
In fact, I think we should have a fund for Mrs. Vance having to put up with Mr. Vance.
Yeah. Please send pod points. I was going to say, who was going to say? Oh, Grantonio, you wanted to say something. Sorry, Grantonio.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to say. I actually know somebody from that part of the world, and she describes it as Derry, so there you go. But also with regards to what Adrian was saying, it's a sad world, isn't it, where we behave accordingly with regards to what people's surnames are. It used to be, it might be to a degree, still to a degree actually, that a lot of Nigerians or Africans, when they came over here, they'd have very English sounding names like Richard and Edward, and very regal sounding names, because it was the only way they would get work. But again, with regards to what we were saying with demographics and positions of power being held by ethnic minorities, they're going to see names like David or Jed or Adrian, and they're not going to get to the top of the lists when it comes to employment.
I'm going to tell you now. I've dealt with very, very recently people like what you've just explained, the Grantonio, and they do have an English version of their name, and it's really weird because they have to sign up to me with the legal name. And they do that, and then I have to call, or then end up calling them by a British name, or
Very similar to that, Jed. I bought a car recently in Dudley from somebody called Jack, and yet when I got there, he didn't look like a Jack. And when I had to put my details into his bank account, I mean, he spelt Jack with the letter M.
Right.
With the letter M.
You have not listened to Jeff Buys Cars. You have not listened to Jeff Buys Cars or the Alex Auto, Auto Alex on YouTube. Never, ever buy a car from the West Midlands. I'm telling you now, it's the worst place to ever buy a car
from. Bitter experience, Jed. You're quite right.
This is an educational channel as well. You see, there you go. Top tips if you're buying a car.
Top Gear. We're going to give Top Gear a run for its.
What you're saying, David, about this being an educational channel? I don't know if you were being facetious, but it really is. This is one of the reasons I tune into this. I don't have the time to sift through all the newspapers or even the alternative news, and that's why I tune into you, and that's why I think you serve quite an important political role. I keep saying this. I don't see the point in voting. I know Jed's going to argue with that. But every time we vote, we never get what we voted for. And the biggest constitutional changes that have happened in this country for the past 40, maybe 50 years have never been in manifestos. So there are other ways of being political and politically active. And one thing is to listen to shows like this and to educate ourselves. That's what.
It's a very thanks, Grantonio. Very kind comments. But on, can I just ask a quick round everyone here? Grantonio, you say that you won't vote because you don't think it achieves anything. Just round everybody, because Grantonio, my position is very close to your position. Adrian, do you think voting's worthwhile? or is it just a sideshow?
I do think it's worthwhile now because we're at the point where people are getting fed up. And unfortunately now this is the only way that we have to have our voice is through a vote because they took our 700 million guns. So I do think this is more people do need to get involved in voting. But unfortunately, the options for your vote are all poor.
No, Adrian, there are other ways of being political, and voting isn't one of them. Okay, I mean, these are boats that are coming over the channel. I don't understand why groups of people aren't teaming up every day and going to the beaches and forming sort of human shields to stop these boats going on. It's action like that. If people can go into the center of towns and protest about Palestine or Israel, then we can start taking more active steps.
The thing is, if you got a human chain on a beach in Dover, I guarantee you the police would have them all arrested in a matter of moments.
They'd be labeled
as far right.
They'd be labeled as terrorists.
Let them.
Yeah, that's
guys.
Personally, I would sink the boats.
Guys,
but that's my own personal opinion.
And I would do the same as you, Adrian. But the point is, you won't get the line of people on the course in Dover, because that line of people are people like me, you, who, and all the people listening, who have a living to make and a home to keep and children to raise. And you can't do that because the left have now weaponized your opinion on various topics. And they will weaponize that and they will have you out of your job and out of your home and on the streets before you can blink. That is the problem. They've now got the power to stop you going, hang on, this is wrong in my country and I'm going to say something. Because if you stand above that parapet, they will bring you down. But I will still say, and I know you're going to come to me at some point, David, so I'm jumping in right now. You asked the question about, is it worthwhile voting?
Yeah.
It's got to be worthwhile voting. It has to be, because not voting is not an option. Because not voting is not being part. Not voting is not having your voice heard. And you might say, well, your voice isn't heard anyway. It's definitely not heard if you're not voting. At least if I vote, I can say, look, I've done that act. I've done my duty as a citizen. If you don't vote and you throw it in the bin, you haven't done your duty.
Yeah, but if you spoil your vote, you're not putting it in the bin. You're registering as someone who voted.
Because it goes in the bin anyway. It says it's spoiled vote.
It goes in the bin, though.
It doesn't go for somebody. It doesn't go for a yay or a nay. It goes in the bin.
If you write, for example, as D2757 says, I do not consent on the ballot paper, it is counted. So
no, it's not. It's just counted as spoiled paper. It doesn't go one side or the other. They'll still get, if 100 people vote and 50 vote for Labour and 50 vote for Conservative, they get 50 each. If you throw a I don't consent vote in, they'll still get 50 votes each.
So what if democracy and voting is a psyop then?
You're right. Stop it now with this whole psyop. We're down the rabbit hole.
Now I got to jump in.
David is in his bright eyes.
I'm sorry. Two things about voting. Number one, if you don't vote, you don't have the right to say anything because you didn't participate. So shut up. Nobody cares about your opinion. Number two, the only alternative to voting is violence. And I don't believe that we should start shooting each other. So we need to vote, no matter how frustrating it is. And we need to, and even a null vote, a vote where you vote, go in and vote for Mickey Mouse or nobody, is a vote because you're registering that the fact that I care, but I ain't voting for none of you damn people because I didn't believe in any of you people. It's still a vote. It still means something. And the problem is that we're trapped in these parties and everything, and we don't have the independence. And we need to throw these people out. And the only way to do that peacefully is with the vote.
Well, the thing is that they're not being thrown out, are they? And even if you do throw them out, you're going to get another set in who's just as bad, basically. It's as simple as that.
That's why you need term limits.
Paddy, term limits and 700 million guns or you're
but Paddy doesn't bingo. Believe in violence.
Bingo.
Paddy doesn't believe in violence. Yeah, he's got all the guns.
I don't believe. I don't believe in violence. Violence is not the method. And I'll tell you what. The last thing you want to do is try to use violence on me because you will not like the result.
Because you'll get a gun in your face, won't you? Exactly. You'll get violence met with violence. Just like I think because violence. We talk about words being violence, but actually somebody breaking across your border is violence. And I think we should use guns.
A wall with 50 caliber machine.
Paddy, quick question. Sure. What on the United States, it was founded in violence.
Yes.
That was the essence of how it was founded. So your country was founded on violence. And
well, you know what? You know what they call the British are coming? The British are coming? You know what they were coming to do? They were coming to seize the guns. They were heading for an armory. That's what the British were coming to do. So we've been standing, this fight's been going on since day one.
I'm currently reading a really interesting thing about the whole, you know, the shot that was sounded that was heard all around the world.
Around the world, on the Concord Bridge, yeah. And the whole thing is where I'm at with this. Let me just get this in, dude, and then I'll shut up. The whole thing is where I'm at now is, you know, we are too violent of a people, and we cannot start shooting at each other because of how heavily armed we are and everything else. We do not need that kind of bloodshed. We have to do this peacefully. If we start that kind of bloodshed leads to the complete collapse. We have to figure out how to do this peacefully. And because it turns violent, it doesn't matter what the rest of you do. You're all coming down with us.
Hang on. Let's look at history and how bloody history has been. If you think we are violent now, you haven't read history.
That's true. You're very true.
History is full of blood, gore. And in history is not just, you know, popping a cap in somebody, Paddy. History is hung, drawn, and quartered human while you're still alive.
Human history is nothing but a tale of calculating from one war to another war and everything that happens in between each war. Mankind is a violent, vicious
animal.
I'm not saying they're not violent. We accept that.
Paddy, I'm not saying we're not violent. I'm not arguing against that point. What I'm arguing is we've been more violent and more bloody and more evil in history than we are currently today.
True.
Today, we'll pop a cap in somebody's brain.
True, but
in history, we would have pulled them apart.
And what I'm saying is, if we let it come to the point that it has, say, like did it World War II and did it World War I, and if we allow it and did during the American Civil War, if we allow that to happen, we cannot allow that to happen again because the amount of dead that will amass, they won't have to worry about giving us jabs. Because there won't be a lot of people to regain and put the pieces back together. If we start all shooting at each other, they're screwing with the Russians. They're fighting the whole thing with Ukraine and this, and they're playing with hypersonic nukes and shit. Fire one nuke and it causes a chain reaction.
Can I buy a gun, Paddy? Paddy, can I buy one of your 700 million guns, please?
No. Sorry. Mine aren't for sale. I sold all the ones I would.
Okay, right. Just I'm coming in on this one. So, look, just for absolute clarity, nobody on this podcast is suggesting violence.
No, we're not.
None at all. None at all.
Just want to make that. I'm making that clear. Yeah, I'm making that clear. That. But having said that, the point that you've all made great points in this one. The fact is that history does teach us some lessons, and I'm not sure that maybe we fully understood history, but well, I'll leave it like that. Listen, we've gone past the hour and a half, Grantonio, thanks for staying with us, and I hope you get well and feel much better as soon as possible. I think you need to get back to Scotland because it's gone downhill even as you've left it temporarily. Listen, my sincere thanks to everyone, to Jed, to Paddy, to Adrian, to Antonio, to all of you guys here on the stream. Thank you so much for all your comments. It's always such a pleasure to spend this time together on a Thursday night. So look, thanks for that. And there, just as before I go, just let you know, there won't be a live show on Monday night because it's bank holiday. So we're doing it on the Tuesday night. And just so you know, the topic is going to be parasites. Parasites as the source of much of the stuff that we call illness.
And the returning guest, David. And the returning guest.
And my returning guest, my good friend, David McCollum, who's going to be joining me. We've been talking about this one, and this is going down the parasites rabbit hole, or at least I am anyway. David will have his thing, but please note that on for Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Jed's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Do come along if you can. Join in the fun and games. Hope you enjoyed the show this past week on the Bosnian pyramids. I told you it was going to be an interesting one. So this is what we're trying to do anyway, bring you lots of interesting stuff, as well as, of course, all... Yes, Paddy, I see your comment. No, these parasites are the ones that live inside you, not in the neighborhood. So look, thanks everyone so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure, as it always is. And see you hopefully Tuesday night, and then again back here and on the podcast. Thanks for everything, guys, and good night.